Hey there, and welcome to Making Positive Psychology Work for Communities, the special podcast series focusing on Midland County, Michigan, a region in the Great Lakes Bay region of central Michigan, where we have been working with community leaders to test practical ways that intelligently apply the latest research in human flourishing, so that together this community can better navigate the incredible challenges and opportunities we are facing today, all using well-being and change science. Their vision in Midland, together forward bold, an exceptional place where everyone thrives. I'm your host, Louis Aloro, co-founder of the Change Lab. And what I love about being part of the work in Midland, Michigan is just how iterative and impactful it is. Since 2018, we have trained and certified over 100 Midland community leaders in applied positive psychology, well-being, and positive change. After several months of live virtual training, participants present impact projects, an application of what they have learned to a part of the community or workplace that they have influence. Participants are coached as they iterate on and execute their projects simultaneously for a collective impact. Thank you so much for joining me for episode 3 of Making Positive Psychology Work for Communities. I'm so glad you're here because today we're talking to the amazing Dr. Kathy Dollard, Director for Behavioral Health at Mid-Michigan Health System. In her role, she sets behavioral health strategy and has developed new programs such as integrated behavioral health in primary care settings and behavioral health emergency services. Kathy has a background in community mental health and is certified in advanced alcohol and drug counseling and clinical trauma. She's also earned a certificate in applied positive psychology. What Kathy loves about our work with the Wellbeing Coalition in Midland County is that she's part of a dynamic group of individuals that is making a positive difference. She says, "Relationships are everything, and I have been able to forge wonderful new friendships as I've joined with others to increase well-being in Midland." So welcome, Kathy.
Hello. Happy to be here. Hi.
Happy to have you here talking about relationships being everything and getting to know you over the past few years and developing our relationship. I just am so grateful that you've carved out some time to have this conversation today.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's great to talk to you, Louis.
Thanks, Kathy. So let's just jump in. I'm curious, what drew you to the Wellbeing Coalition and the certification in positive psychology? What drew you to that work?
Well, there was a lot of things. So I had been talking with my friend Maureen Donker, our mayor, for some time about positive psychology. Her enthusiasm was awesome and made me really wanted to do that. And I think almost everyone would say, you know, Maureen had something to do with them joining the class. But for me also, I'm a clinical psychologist. So I've been working in the psychology world for like 20 years. And really, my focus was always on illness. And so it was like an opportunity for me to really talk about well-being and look at kind of that north and neutral and try to see a whole different side of psychology that wasn't really part of my original training. So I was really interested in it. And also a lot of people that I knew who were going to be in the class. And frankly, I just wanted to be part of the cool kids. I wanted to know what's going on in our town. And I thought it was going to be a good opportunity just to learn something new. I didn't really know how much it would impact me though. So that was a good thing that was sort of a surprise.
Yeah. Tell me more about that, Kathy. How has this impacted you first personally? And then we'll talk about your professional life.
I think it really enhanced my relationships a lot. And, you know, I had a teenage daughter. I mean, she's almost 20 now, but at the time, you know, just like any moms and daughters, we were going through, you know, those ups and downs. And it gave me a lot of ways to self-center, I guess, in working through those high school years. I don't know if you recall this, Louis, but I had a serious back problem during the time when I was starting. And I knew that it, you know, there's this whole mind-body thing that was happening and that there wasn't really a known pain generator anymore. It was just me holding stress and just not taking good care of myself. And when I started this class, I sort of introduced that. And you said to me, Lewis, you know, we'll work on that. And I was like, okay, we're going to work on my back issue in this positive psychology class. But honestly, I mean, things got better. And since then, I've really worked through this whole pain thing and I'm pretty much pain free now. So, I mean, there's a lot of good things that came to me personally, and along with all of the connections and friendships that I made in the class.
So wonderful that you're pain free and mm-hmm. that you see the connection between the mind and the body, and wonderful. Just the layers of application physically, right? Relationally with your daughter and all of the other relationships in your life. It's amazing how this work can be applied in so many different ways. And I'm so happy that you've had some personal positive change as a result. What, Kathy, have you seen in the community? Anything in particular? You wanted to be part of the cool kids, and meaning mm-hmm. the wonderful people that come around the coalition and the certification work. What have you seen in your community over these past, say, 3 or 4 years that we've been up to this work?
I mean, quite a lot, actually. There's so many of us now that have been trained. And so we have this shared language and, I don't know, a zest, I guess, for making a good change in our community. So, yeah, there's so many different projects that are going on all of the time. And so I participated in a workshop that was right when the COVID was, like, the shutdown was just really first starting. And people had really not kind of, I don't know, habituated to our new lifestyle yet. And people were still feeling really anxious. And Bev put on a workshop in resilience. And it was, you know, a Zoom kind of resilience meeting that really pepped me up for the rest of the week. And so there's, you know, there's tons of projects going on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love what you say about the shared language and the shared zest, really, that mm-hmm. is contagious for people who come around this work. And in the community context, someone like Bev Wenzel can run a resilience workshop, and other people are running all sorts of other learning opportunities in different ways, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. But let's talk about your final project first, your impact project. I want to give listeners a sense of what you did and why you did it. So put yourself back. I know it was 2018 when you were in the particular certification cohort, but what did you do and why did you do it?
I was fortunate to have a partner also from MidMichigan Health, and she and I worked together on a project that we named Bridge to Belonging. I had only started in the health system a year before the training. I mean, I had always worked in mental health, but hadn't really thought a whole lot about physical health and how things like loneliness can have this huge impact on physical health and well-being, and whether or not people are going to live for a long time and live well, or they might actually die. Mortality is tied to loneliness. And so, and actually I had never really thought about that. And I'm not really sure why, but that was something that we learned about. We saw a video about it and it just struck me. Like, I work in a healthcare setting and we ask people about, do they smoke? How much do they imbibe? How much sleep do they get? Whether or not they have a weight problem, all these things, all of these risk factors that we ask about and we like harangue people to change, but we don't ask about loneliness. At least we didn't before our project. So we weren't asking about our social connections. And I really saw it as one of those social determinants of health or social influencers of health. So we do ask about whether or not somebody has food in their homes and things like that. But we had not been asking about loneliness. So the whole project was that we would start doing like an ESPERT, I guess you would call it, is screening with a brief intervention and referral to some kind of treatment. And we went through a lot of, like you said, a lot of iterations, I guess, as we were going along, because at first I sort of naively thought we could just like figure out different groups that people are already engaged in. And we can just take people and say, hey, why don't you just go over there and, you know, join that group who's doing that thing you like to do. And that it would just sort of be simple as that. And for some people that might be, but as I delve more into the research and read more about it, I started thinking about how there are some people who have chronic loneliness and they have sort of this sort of negative valence to them. And sometimes they have unhelpful thoughts about themselves and the world. And sometimes they have social anxiety that's causing it. And so for some people, we needed to really work on some of those things so that they were ready for connection. So it got to be pretty complex because it's a complex problem. So what we did was we started asking the question around loneliness, and then we made connections in our community with senior services. Oh, I should say that we really targeted older population. And so we connected people with senior services, but also with 211. So with 211, they have navigators who could help people with finding some of those connections. And then if somebody had loneliness and it seemed chronic, then we were referring them to our integrated behavioral health therapists that were in our doctor's offices. So really, we were asking these questions during wellness checks and when older people came into their doctor. And then we were talking to them, giving them some information, and then making a referral to some of our community partners. And we were also doing a lot of like anti-stigma around loneliness and making people aware of that. We had billboards that we put up that were saying, you know, do you need connection? You know, do something about it. And with 211 so that we could direct people to 211. And I developed a protocol for those folks who had loneliness as an issue, like chronic loneliness. And one of the therapists here started doing groups with people. And just that group interaction was really powerful as well, along with the information that they were learning. So we got our first group off before the pandemic. And since the pandemic, we've been doing those groups virtually. And we're getting great feedback, really, from the people who are participating. And it's not just the content, to be honest. It's the interaction that they have with the other people. And so it's really been a great project. The other thing that we kind of wove into it, which I don't want to get too technical, but we wanted an easy way to be able to send people to 211 and not just say, you know, here, call 211 and do that on your own. Because a lot of times people, they have some barriers to doing that. So we're able, we set up this closed loop system through our medical record so that a doctor or a nurse can send a referral to 211. 211 then, we've worked with them. They have a navigator who will call up our person of concern and help them. And then they'll send a closed loop message back to us so that we know that that person got help. Because or else it would be until they come back for another session or another meeting with their doctor before we'd know whether or not that person actually got the help that they needed. So we kind of wove a whole lot of things around together. I mean, honestly, the optimism that I had coming out of the program made me believe I could do this. Without that, I don't know, because there are so many hoops and it's like it was tough and it took a few years to actually come to fruition. I mean, there's a lot of learned optimism that I had just to persevere through all those kind of like the tough times when you're trying to get everyone on board. And we also, we wrote a significant grant. So we did have some grant money that was really helpful too. But yeah, it's been going really well, I think.
Wonderful. Yeah, you not only wrote the grant, but you won the grant to be able to do this important work. I love how you added that social determinant of health to the, you know, to the assessments that doctors are making, for example, of their patients, and how you've connected in the 211 resource. It's just also so brilliant what you and Stephanie did for this project. You mentioned a little bit about how your experience in this certificate led you to this project, but give listeners just a little bit more context for how this project came to be your project for the final part of the course?
You know, part of getting certified is that everyone takes on their own sort of project. And so, I don't know, I was just really struck by the fact that we don't in healthcare see loneliness as what it is, which is like, it's a huge problem that leads people to die, actually. And so we came up with some strategies and we worked together, I guess, and we got feedback from the group as well, and a lot of help in when we were thinking about what we were going to do. And we just kept working at it. We pitched it to the group, I guess, and to you, Lewis, and we got really some good feedback, and we just kept diving deeper into it. Yeah, I think that once we decided like we needed to get some money for it, and we got that grant, and I don't know, you're beholden then to what you say you're going to do for sure once you have that money. And so that was, you know, a real help too. We also built a lot of relationships, right? And so we were able to talk with other people for that kind of help. And during the time when we were launching, some of the folks from Senior Services were starting their certification. So we were all, again, talking the same language and able to work together. And then Sarah Kyle from 211 was getting certified. And so we're all really on the same page. Like, goes back to that whole collective impact stuff from this community, that we have so many people who are all sort of on the same path. And so we're all taking our own little, like, I don't know, if you think about a river, own little tributaries on this path toward well-being, but all of us are working together. And I think that's been really helpful.
Oh, for sure. And one other thing that I'm remembering, Kathy, is that we did take a community well-being assessment in 2018.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the findings, remember from that, was there was a mismatch between the amount of belonging that people experienced in the community and the amount of belonging that they craved having. So we saw that mismatch.
I mean, a lot of us, especially nowadays, can really kind of relate to that. That, I mean, a lot of people are feeling this sense of loneliness or disconnection. And at the time, I did a few other little projects too. If you remember, I got together with my neighbors and two of my closer neighbors, and I got together a flyer. We went door to door and we decided we were going to have a block party. And it was on National Neighboring Day, and all decided like it was going to be a potluck. And we had tons of people who showed up to that. You know, some neighbors didn't, but most of them did, and kind of just talked about what we had. I mean, I talked about what we had learned about how connection's important and that we don't want to just know each other during floods. Unfortunately, our street has been flooded now twice since I moved in, and we didn't want to just come together during those times. And so one of the, I guess, biggest takeaways that I had from the course is that, you know, this connections that we have with other people are what life's all about. And so there's all these things that happen in your life, but the connection is what really, I think, that why we're on earth, I guess, love and connection. Mm-hmm. And so trying to grow those in our community, I mean, it helps you to stay alive. It helps you to stay healthy. And so I don't know, that was just something that really struck me so much. And I want to do something about it.
A true social emotional leader, Dr. Kathy Dollard.
Thank you.
And an overachiever for doing more than one impact project for the course. Just I think it's a good indicator that this is not about the course, you know, this is just about how we live our lives, you know? And so you see opportunities at work and you've certainly taken leadership there. At home, you just mentioned what you did for National Neighboring Day and organizing your neighbors to celebrate the good times, not just show up in times that are challenging. So I really love how you said that.
I mean, one of the things that was really encouraged to the course is that each of us would do something that kind of fit for ourselves and really for our workplace or for our personal life, that it was something that kind of touched us. And so for me, it made sense to do something in a healthcare setting. And I wanted to do something a little bit different than maybe was in my comfort zone, I guess. It wasn't just going to be a behavioral health thing, although there's lots that we can do around behavioral health for sure. But this sort of working on loneliness, I remember I took it to some folks in leadership and they're like, what does that have to do with behavioral health? Because I'm the service line director for behavioral health. So I think they were trying to say, are you off mission? And I was really able to say like, no, this is about health. It's not just about behavioral health. It's about health. And, you know, it was pretty easy to convince leaders here that it's the right thing to do. But I did get, you know, some questioning about that at first. And then people just need an education about what the impact of loneliness can be on people. I think that so many of us have kind of just taken it back to our own workplaces and been able to do things that improve where we work and where we live.
And having the science to support why, you know, why would Kathy Dollard want to be involved in social determinants of health? You know, and like you say, it's about health and we are a health system. And so yes. I love how you're bringing people's attention to just ways that we can take what already we are doing, you know, intake of patients, for example, and just do it slightly different in order to change the outcomes. Kathy, I'm wondering, what else have you seen either in your health system or other health systems that are applying positive psychology? Any other things that you've come across that have struck you or sparked you?
Yeah. So the psychiatrist that I work probably most closely with, Dr. Regan, she took the course in the next cohort after me. She and I have really bonded, I think, around some of the positive psychology things that we have learned. And she has developed a course for providers in our health system. So they get together at breakfast and they learn about positive psychology. And she teaches them all the different tidbits in the PERMA-H. And it's been, I think, really super well received. I mean, our health system has really supported this. And I feel really fortunate because I have like a cohort within our own health system now who are working on these projects. So Reagan Howie, she's been doing some things. And so when I click on our intranet, one of the things that shows up is stuff about wellness, and it's the PERMA-V or the PERMA-H, I guess now. And so in our employee newsletter, each time there's something different. I've seen things around growth mindset, about habits, gratitude, all kinds of great things. And so, and then we have Michael Rogers, and he had a day, it was 10-5 day. So on October 5th, and we already had this kind of culture, this rule where if you are walking up to somebody within 10 feet of them, you have eye contact, you acknowledge each other, and you say hello within 5 feet. So it was a great reminder because it's something that we had in our culture, but sometimes, you know, it falls off or something. And so there's just been a lot of great work that's happened at MidMichigan Health. I'm proud of our health system for having a culture that would welcome well-being like that. I mean, I would think all health systems do, but it's been really emphasized here. And I think for the betterment of all of the staff, especially in these tough times.
Kathy, what's next for you? I'm just curious. What do you see the next 6 months, or what's propelling the work forward in your heart and mind next?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're asking that because we've gotten together. So Holly Miller from United Way, who was, you know, in the course, you broke us up into a little smaller cohorts, and which was really nice because then you got connection. You had a connection with all 40 people, but then we kind of worked in these smaller groups, and Holly was in my group, and we've become really good friends from that. And that's really a gift. Anyway, so Holly is working with us and along with Sarah from 211 and the health system and senior services. And we're all working together on this I think we're going to call it friendly connections. We're still kind of coming up with it, but it's basically working with people who want to volunteer to have connection. So either through a call or a video call or something like that. And then people who need that. So as another thing that we can offer our patients when they're coming in and senior services are able to offer the people, their participants. So if somebody's coming in and they are saying, yes, I'm lonely, we've been sending them, either we just give them literature because maybe they don't want to get a referral. But another thing we can offer them is, do you want to connect with somebody for a friendly connection? And so it's going to be a new program that we're developing. We're using the rest of our grant money, which is awesome, and hiring a coordinator for that. And then Kathy Snyder, who's been one of our leaders in well-being, will be providing some training to the volunteers. And then they'll be matched up with people who want to have connection. And so we're hoping that what will happen is that not only will it be like a one or two time like check-in call, but that maybe there'll be some friendships that are forged through that. And so we're excited for the next 6 months, actually, because I think within a few months, we'll have this kicked off and get the training and get it launched. I have a sneaking suspicion that we'll have a lot of people who want to volunteer to do this. And I think that we might even be matching volunteers with volunteers. One of the other things we thought about is, if we get older people, could we match them up with younger people? There was a project that happened here in Midland where people from a senior housing were matched up with kids from St. Bridget's Elementary School, and they matched up, and they actually were matched up also around health and nutrition. And so they went together to the farmer's market. They learned some things together. And the big part of it was just that nice connection. And I know that on both sides, people really loved that. Like all the participants, the younger kids and the older adults loved that. And so I can see that kind of happening virtually now through this connections program that we're trying to launch. So we've had, I would say 3 or 4 really awesome meetings, I guess. And all of us leave these meetings feeling uplifted because we are talking about well-being again. And we're living this work, I guess, that we all got together. And again, we're on the same page with each other because we're all trained and certified in positive psychology. And we're doing this awesome project. So that's something that I'm really looking forward to.
And I think because we're all trained and have the same language, we prioritize each other and the relationships between, mm-hmm. at least that's what I see in the groups that we're working with in Midland, are the shifts in priorities making the relationships so valuable. And that's how we started this interview. That's how we're ending it. Kathy, I have to ask you right now, are you ready for the lightning round?
Oh, sure.
What is one well-being practice you learned in the program that has made the biggest difference in your own life, and why?
Okay, well, there's a few things that I really, really loved. I loved Carol Dweck's work on growth mindset. I think that that's something I've been, any kid who's struggling with school, I'm like, growth mindset. So I've taught that to my own child. I also really loved Marley Adams' stuff around choice map and that kind of learner and judger path. I've used that in my work here as in behavioral health, because I think a lot of us sort of start marching down a, you know, judger path and need to kind of get out of that. And gratitude's always been something that I think is just so important. And just starting your day with, you know, before you put your feet even on the floor, saying, you know, what am I thankful for today? So all of those things I think have been things that I learned in the program. I mean, I knew about gratitude, but not really like the science behind it and to put it in place and make it sort of a daily practice. Just like, you know, when you're learning how to get more muscles, you have to like lift weights. And so you have to put it into a daily practice in order for you to actually benefit. So all of those things, I would say.
Wonderful. Kathy, in addition to your own impact project and the ones that you mentioned already, what's one other thing happening in the community around well-being that really inspires you?
So I'm on the board of The Rock, and Bev Wenzel is doing some fabulous, fabulous stuff in social emotional learning and well-being with kids. And she has this program called Discover You that she's been working on for a number of years, and it's being adopted in a lot of our schools. And I'm really inspired by the idea of teaching these skills and teaching this information to young people, because I think if they have these tools when they're young, I mean, so much more resilience can come out of that. I know that a lot of us just sort of learn things along the way. We weren't taught how to diaphragmatically breathe and how that's going to help to calm us, and all these different things that kids can learn about mindfulness and all of that, and, you know, to grow assets, I guess, and to protect them. I'm really inspired by that kind of work and the stuff that Bev Wenzel's doing. And I see her taking that to like a great level and being able to teach other people that. So this really, this kind of information can go to kids around the world, to be honest. So that's really inspiring.
Oh yeah. And the Wellbeing Lab partnering with Discover You now, one of The Rock's programs to do what you're just saying, scale it around the world. So stay tuned. Yeah.
Stay tuned. And as a board member, everyone's on the board of The Rock is so pumped up for these opportunities that are happening. And, you know, we've learned a lot from Bev too, just about how to do this and how to leverage your relationships and learn the business end of that a little bit too. It's been really interesting.
Oh yeah. Social entrepreneurs over here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Kathy, if there was one thing you wished everybody thought about when it comes to bringing out the best in themselves and others in communities right now, what would it be?
Well, I would like people to think about their own happiness. I know in the way that things are happening right now, it can be really easy to feel bummed out. But what we know is that about 50% of your happiness is due to genetics, and 40% is attributable to external activities that you can do. Only 10% is due to your external events like the pandemic or flooding or things that are happening. Actually makes me more optimistic, because I know that 40% is in my own hands and things that I can do. So we can learn different things. We can exercise. We can have gratitude. We can struggle well. And so I think it's really something that I want everyone to think about, is that you have it within you to increase your own happiness, because we know most of it's not about external events. It's about what your attitude is and what you do about it.
Thank you so much, Kathy.
You're welcome.
Thanks for being here for this interview.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure to talk to you.
And thank you all for listening. Of course, as always, we'll be sure to put these ideas in our Surprising Stories case study ebook, which you can download for free at makingpositivepsychologywork.com/communities. You've been listening to Making Positive Psychology Work for Communities with Louis Aloro. If you found Kathy's ideas helpful today and you'd like to pay forward her generosity, then be sure to share this podcast with a friend or colleague to help improve our communities. If you'd like to learn more about how you can create more well-being and impact in a collective way for your organization or community, then contact us at the Wellbeing Lab, where we can help you form a coalition, attract funding for the work, and even create positive changes in your organization or community at scale. After all, remember what Margaret Mead once said: never underestimate a small group of like-minded people to change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. Until next time, be well.